This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, July 8, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A recent statewide survey indicates a majority of Michiganders believe tariffs are contributing to inflation and are an affordability problem. WGVU's Patrick Center breaks down the survey.
The Michigan Smart Trade Alliance commissioned a survey conducted by Lansing-based Epic MRA in mid-June. It reached 600 likely November voters, 80% of them by cell phone. When asked if they think tariffs are contributing to inflation and what is considered to be an affordability problem for many Michiganders, a majority, 74%, responded yes and 21% no. When asked who ultimately pays the cost for those imposed tariffs, a majority, 76%, said the American consumer, 10% foreign companies exporting goods to the United States, 9% said American companies importing goods, and 5% were undecided. When asked which of Michigan's industries were experiencing the greatest impact, the top three were farmers at 25%, the auto industry and retailers, each receiving 17%, and 16% said manufacturers. Of those responding to the survey, 41% identified as Democrats, 40% Republican, and 19% independent or other. The survey has a plus-minus error of 4%. I'm Patrick Center.
The recently passed state budget gives Grand Valley State University the go-ahead to start construction on a $165 million project. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
Grand Valley State University was awarded $30 million in state supplemental funding in 2023 to help fund a massive renovation of the E.V. Eberhardt Center on its downtown campus and the creation of a high-tech hub called Blue Dot Lab. But there are multiple steps in the state's capital outlay process. Chris Naep, GVSU's Assistant Vice President for University Communications, explains.
Once the state awards the money, they actually need to provide construction authorization for the money that's been allocated. That's one of the things that we've been waiting on from the state between the time that the initial outlay was announced and the passage of this recent budget.
The university board approved issuing bonds in February, contingent on getting the go-ahead from the state.
So now that we have that construction authorization, we can go through the formal process of bonding and then also get those final steps in place so that we can schedule a groundbreaking. And we hope to do that before the end of the year.
The $166 million Blue Dot Lab project redesigns the Eberhardt Center as a space for tech education and innovation for all disciplines, including a three-story addition to house the College of Computing, WGVU studios for digital public media production, event space, labs, and classrooms. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids University Preparatory Academy is one step closer to its multi-million dollar expansion becoming a reality. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The state has awarded a $745,000 brownfield redevelopment grant to the Grand Rapids University Prep Association for its capital campaign dedicated to expanding Grand Rapids University Preparatory Academy, also known as UPREP.
We realized that as the school was growing, you know, we needed more space.
Brian Cloyd is co-chair of the association. He says the school, which opened in 2008, serving 6th through 12th graders, would expand to include extra classrooms, labs, and a gym.
As the school grew, we realized that we also didn't have space so that we could have an entire school, you know, meeting or an activity. So that gym will facilitate the capacity for close to 500 students that are at the school.
The association has raised about $4 million toward the $7.4 million project. The Michigan Department of Environment Great Lakes and Energy Grant will fund environmental assessments, demolition, and removal of contaminated soil from the building site, home to a former gas station.
The construction company has, you know, worked through it so that we can still have class scheduled throughout the school year, and we should be ready to complete the facility by next spring.
I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Democrats running for Michigan's open U.S. Senate seat fought it out over the role of outside money in politics during a debate on Tuesday night. Colin Jackson has more.
Former Wayne County Health Director Dr. Abdul El Sayed spent much of the debate criticizing his opponent, Congresswoman Haley Stevens, for the millions of dollars from outside money groups benefiting her campaign.
You've probably seen ad after ad after ad. Not one of those ads was brought to you by the Congresswoman's campaign. All of them brought to you by corporate PACs and AIPAC trying to buy a politician.
Stevens argued any support is based on her record delivering for the state. She accused El Sayed of hiding his personal finances and relying on slogans.
My head is down doing the work for the people of Michigan who need the work to be done. We do not need a celebrity senator. We need a workhorse.
The candidates did agree on issues like ensuring billionaires pay more in taxes. I'm Colin Jackson in Grand Rapids.
The U.S. Department of Justice plans to place election monitors in Detroit, Lansing, and East Lansing for Michigan's August primaries. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The Justice Department is placing the monitors in three high Democratic turnout jurisdictions. The Michigan Republican Party chair says it makes sense to use the August primary as a test run for observing polling sites in the general election. Lansing officials replied anyone is welcome to observe its elections processes as long as they don't interfere with voters or election workers. They also say claims about difficult or abnormal voting practices are, quote, simply false. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel and Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson say the Justice Department has made requests for the state's official list of registered voters. They say those requests are unlawful and predicated on baseless accusations of misconduct. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan candidate for governor Mike Cox spoke out against opponent John James ahead of the Republican primary election in August. James is considered the front runner in a race that also features businessman Perry Johnson. While standing outside Renaissance Global Logistics, a business owned by James's family on Fort Street in Detroit, Cox alleged James supported business deals with the Chinese Communist Party. Cox says James is a hypocrite who takes jobs away from Michiganders even though he says he wants the opposite.
Why he's running for governor, he is putting profits in his pocket over the people of his district in Michigan. That's why we are here today.
A James spokesperson said in a statement that Cox's claims are completely false and prove why he cannot be governor because he does not know anything about the manufacturing industry. The Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidates will face each other in two debates this week. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane's staff writer Mark Sanchez about one of the nation's largest accounting firms' decisions now being made from Grand Rapids. Michigan State University's outgoing president has decided to stay, and we begin with the removal of dams from the Grand River, marking the beginning of the river restoration project.
This has been in the planning stages for so long, almost two decades. It was, you know, I think 17, 18 years ago, this group came up with this idea of like, hey, what if, you know, and how many great ideas started with that question? What if? And this was, what if we took out these low dams along the Grand River through downtown and restored the rapids? And now here we are so many years later, it's finally happening. Last couple of weeks, we've seen that staging area in front of the Ford Museum on the west side of the river being set up with the stones and the bags and to create the cofferdams to block the water so the crews can get down there and remove those low dams. And it's finally happening in the water work. Saw the heavy equipment move into the water last Wednesday and began starting up, putting some things in there to catch the sediments as they get stirred up from the heavy equipment. Then they started putting the rocks along the Gillette Bridge, the piers on the Gillette Bridge, to kind of shore those up. That way, when they transfer that water to one side and you have extra water flow, it protects the bridge. And so over the next year and a half, you're going to see this work continue. They will start by removing those four dams on the lower reaches of the river from about Fulton Street up to, I believe it was just a little north of Leonard. And you're going to see this work progress. And it was interesting in talking to Matt Chapman. He's the executive director of Grand Rapids Whitewater, Inc. He said this can be something now people out on their lunch hour. If you're working in downtown, stroll on over to the river and watch the work. And it was interesting. You know, a couple of days last week coming in, that's exactly what you're seeing is people just on that river walkway on either side and behind the Amway Grand, just kind of hanging out there and watch the equipment work. So you'll see this work continue, and I correct myself, it's from just north of Bridge Street down to Fulton Street. You'll see this work continue through next summer, through toward the end of next summer. And as Matt said, hopefully by then we'll see the rapids back in the river as early as maybe late this summer, and then see them all back next year. It's been a long road, you know, doing the planning, getting the regulatory approvals, getting the funding to do this. It's finally here. It's finally happening.
And this will be in two phases.
Yeah, this is all the bigger, broader project is going to happen in two phases. The first, you're going to see what's now underway from just north of Bridge Street down to Fulton. The planning's continuing for the upper reaches from just north of Bridge Street up to Ann Street. You're going to see that still play out over the next year, probably two. Grand Rapids Whitewater is working with the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission to go over a few designs, a few plans and scenarios, and ultimately we'll pick a final design here over the next year or two, and then have to go through the regulatory and approval processes for that. So this is a long-term project. As we've seen, again, it goes back almost two decades since it was first conceived. So first get the lower reaches done, and then ultimately get that upper reach done.
There is the environmental component and the economic component.
Yeah, the idea being first, you know, restoring that natural water flow is better for the river, better for the aquatic life, better for the habitat. But also there's this thinking, and I can't recall the numbers right off the top of my head, of open up that access to the river with the better trails, the better pathways along. You'll have some put-ins for folks who want to go kayaking, for fishing, and there's going to be an economic benefit to this that's going to drive more folks see this as an amenity they like about the community and decide to come here. And it's certainly for folks who now live and work in downtown, it's going to be something that helps to that attraction as well.
Well, the Grand River, it winds from Lansing to Lake Michigan. Let's go upstream to Lansing. Some big news coming out of MSU.
Yeah, we go quite a ways upstream to East Lansing. And, you know, and everybody kind of, the president's leaving. When he announced this a couple of months ago, President Guskowitz at Michigan State University. And now we learned this week, he's not leaving. He's not going to Clemson. He's staying at Michigan State University. Boy, when he announced that he had been appointed president at Clemson, there was quite some issues there about governance, some issues with trustees on the MSU board, and it really exposed a lot of things there at Michigan State, among many issues that have been going on at MSU for quite a while. We learned Tuesday and Monday this week that he's going to stay. In his letter to the community, to the campus, he talked about why he wants to stay, and he talked about how after a lot of thought, a lot of countless conversations and careful consideration, he decided that this is the place that he belongs and this is where he wants to stay. He also talked about, you know, how he and his wife Amy thought about the possibility of leaving. They just conclude that this is their home in East Lansing. Michigan State is the place to be. And he also wrote in that letter to the community, he understands the turmoil, the disruption that came about when that announcement came out, I think back in March, that he was leaving for Clemson. And he knows it's now up to him to kind of regain that trust, to work hard and, boy, and trust when something that you lose, you have to work hard to regain it. And he's fully aware of that. The bottom line, MSU's president is staying in his position. And he's got a lot of initiatives he's put in place in the first 2 years. The One Health, the combining the medical schools. There's the Spartan Ventures that's kind of restructuring the university's athletics and fundraising there in this age of NIL with college athletics. It's a new model. So there's a lot that's been going on there. For now, MSU will have continuity in that presidency.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. One of the largest accounting firms, BDO USA, most of the decision-making is now going to come out of Grand Rapids.
Yes, because this is now where the CEO sits. BDO USA is now run from Grand Rapids. Matt Becker became CEO at BDO USA on July 1. It's a $3.5 billion accounting firm that has deep roots in Grand Rapids. It was launched 116 years ago by the family of William Seidman. Anybody who's been around Grand Rapids for a little bit of time certainly knows that name. Bill Seidman was quite a figure here in Grand Rapids. He led the firm for a while, and he was heavily involved as a business leader in Grand Rapids. He was an economist, and he advised three presidents, including President Ford, another fellow Grand Rapidian. So now Matt Becker is running BDO USA. from Grand Rapids, and he's well aware of that legacy of Bill Seidman, and he said he certainly hopes to carry on and live up to that legacy. And we had a good conversation, and this is a story that posted on cranesgrandrapids.com the other day, where we had a good conversation with Matt and talked about the Seidman legacy, but also talked about growing the firm. And to grow the firm, you also need to grow and develop talent, and how he wants to place a big emphasis on developing talent within the firm. And if you go to BDO Seidman as your career, this is a place he wants to become a destination for talent in that industry and to stay and grow and develop. So we talked about a number of things, and again, he's leading the company from Grand Rapids and carrying on that legacy of what Bill Seidman had here in Grand Rapids, and they'll go forward from there.
One area that was discussed in this article, and it's interesting when you talk about developing talent, and that is adopting AI technologies.
This artificial intelligence technology is affecting every industry across the economy. When I had this conversation with Matt, he said they've put a significant amount of money and resources to support their workforce to make them more AI enabled. He said it's been a really very deliberate approach, and they want people to not fear the technology, but to embrace the technology. And yes, there is some fear out there about AI replacing jobs, especially in that financial sector, whether companies can automate those processes and automate those duties. We'll see as this is deployed and emerges. But he is of the mindset that he wants the staff there to embrace the technology, to learn the technology and how to apply it in their jobs. And this can not only make it a better run firm, but also become more effective in how it serves the clients out there. I should say BDO USA has about 80 offices across the nation. So he's looking at that, also building quite a robust advisory practice. You know, take those lessons internally and what they know about AI and how to apply it in business, and then help advise clients how the clients can then adapt, and use this technology and how they operate their business and serve their clients.
Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, July 8, 2026. I'm Joe Balecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.